shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Father, it is a privilege and a joy to be drawn by your Spirit, to learn from you. Father, we ask that this word will change us, conform us more and more into your likeness, we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I have a title that we're going to discuss today, and this title is All is Being Shaken. All is Being Shaken. Now, that is not really a revelation. If you are keeping your ears and eyes open to the world and the events that are taking place in the world globally, you will find that this shaking is increasing everywhere. You will find that people are beginning to ask questions. You will find things are happening that they didn't happen even 3-4 years ago. What we are beginning to see now is shaking on a global level. A lot of shaking was starting with us and in the house of God, because Jesus said judgment begins first in the house of God. And he is indeed continuing to do that. And sometimes he allows us to be shaken for a purpose and a reason. But what we are beginning to see is this global shaking. And so because things are beginning to shake, man is trying to interpret this. He's trying to interpret it through global warming, or he's trying to interpret it through problems with finance, banks, business, trade, commerce. Man will always look for an answer to try and understand what God is doing, but he's blinded. He can't see, but you see, and God is opening your eyes and my eyes. And he's showing that he is shaking the heavens and the earth. And this isn't going to stop. And he's going to shake and shake and shake till all that is not of him is cast down. And we're told also that the heavens will be shaken. The stars will move from their course. Things will happen in the heavens that have never been seen before. These events are with us now. They are unfolding. And the question is, are we going to be in denial? Are we going to bury our heads in the sand? Or are we going to allow this shaking to prepare us as the bride of Christ? To remove those hindrances, those things that are still displeasing to God. Yes, he allows our lives to be shaken. He even allows the church to be shaken, even FGA. Ever since man fell into sin, that shaking started. But prophecy shows us, and I'm reminded of Joel too, that in the last days we will see a shaking like there has never been before. So this is nothing new to us, brothers and sisters, but we do need to remind ourselves of what it is we are experiencing and what it is we're going through, and how we need to understand it and read it spiritually, how that this shaking is actually preparing the body of Christ. See, God uses everything, and thank God that he does. And so we are being restored to that deeper consecration for the purpose. And listen to me, this is nothing new, but we are being restored for a purpose, and that is for perfection, that degree of perfection that God is looking for in the body of Christ. That is our faith, our consecration. We are also being prepared, that is preparation. We are all at present on the potter's wheel, being prepared, being molded, being shaped. We're also being restored, that restoration, being brought back under the divine covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, being delivered from religion, from man, from control, from witchcraft, all those things that hold man in a religious way. We're also being prepared for manifestation in ministry, that is, to the world. And finally, our glorification. And I believe everything has to fit into this eternal plan and purpose. Anything outside of that, I don't believe, is the end time message for the overcomer. It is a message, but it has not got direction, lead. It is not directing you to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Anything other than what I have just cited there will in some way lead to man or his building or a religious thing. That's what it does. And I'm sadly, we've got churches filled with all that sort of stuff. And the reason I say this is because it will fail. And that's why we're in the times of restitution of all things which God spoke right through the ages. Let's remind ourselves in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, which says here, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by his mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So God has purposed this since the world began, to restore, to bring back a remnant unto himself. That has been the work of the Father through Jesus Christ. And that is the work that is taking place in your life and my life. Now we either receive that by faith or we don't. You cannot look to circumstances. You cannot look around you for any answers with this. This is revealed spiritually first in our lives and our hearts. And as I said at the beginning, we are beginning to see the signs. We're beginning to see why the heavens and the earth are shaking and will shake and continue to shake. And in that shaking, we are going to appreciate and see what God has done and continues to do. We are seeing people falling by the wayside. We are seeing mental problems with people on an epidemic level, like we have not seen before. I could simply go on and on and on with this. These are demons being released in these last days. Why is Satan doing this? Because he knows his time is short. And I could continue with this, but you know what I'm talking about. You've got it in your families. You see it around you. People's hearts are beginning to fail them. They are so godless. They're so heathen. They have no insight now of spiritual things. Or they have insight of the occult, but not of Jesus Christ. So it is all around us. And that is why the shaking is beginning, is happening. Now, all that isn't established of God is being shaken in order for it to collapse. It's got to come down. It's got to tumble down. It's got to be reduced to rubble. Whatever it is he's shaking that's not of him. You see, if God didn't ordain this, then this will grow and grow and grow like a paralysis over the earth until man will be so far gone, so reprobate, that it'd be beyond saving. That is why God always has a remnant right through the ages. But you see, what God has not ordained, he's going to shake, and he'll shake and shake. And that shaking is always to bring about repentance, a turning around, a change of mind. But some will refuse it. Even through the shaking, they will not turn to the Lord. They are the facts, sadly. And this is why we have been restored to God. We've been restored to his word, being restored back to living and walking by faith. And this is why he's shaking the heavens and the earth. Let's remind ourselves what it says in Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, you know this well, verses 26, 27. 26, 27, whose voice then shook the earth, but how he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Know this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So we're told here, quite clearly, whose voice then shook earth, the earth, but now he has promised, saying, not only earth, but also heaven. So it's not just the earth which he shook. We see in the Bible, through history, how God shook the earth, the flood, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are all shakings, destruction. But what we read there is not only the earth this time, but it's also going to be heaven. The whole lot of God's creation is going to be shaken. Absolutely awesome. You cannot get your mind round this, what is about to happen. And yet that's what the scriptures tell us. So it's interesting that this term to shake, it actually means an overthrowing. It means an actual casting down. It's destroying everything that's not of him. And we get some understandings of this term. For example, in Mark 13 verse 25. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. My goodness me, just listen to that. You cannot get your mind, your head around all of that. What is going to happen? Here's this idea of shaking, casting down. Let's also look at Luke chapter 6. And here we see this term again used. Luke 6 and verse 48. Where it speaks about the building on the rock. And it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. And who is that rock? Yes, you guessed it, you know it. His name is Jesus. He cannot be shaken. He has overcome. He has triumphed at Calvary. He is now immovable, unshakable. What all is going to happen that we've been looking at, when you are built in him and you stand in him, you cannot and will not be shaken by all that is happening. And as I said at the beginning, the shaking has started. We know it. People are beginning to know that things are not what they used to be. Things are so rapidly changing. There's so much is falling away now in every way. And as this gets worse and worse, you are going to appreciate, you're going to really thank the Lord that you stand upon the rock. We're going to give him all the praise and all the glory for what he's done and what he's doing. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Well, going back to Hebrews 12. He says here in verse 27, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. So this idea or this understanding of to remove or this removal, it's an interesting word. It means to transfer. It means to change, to remove the old institutions, the old things that have been, that man's built, that man's used to. It means all that he relies upon is going to be removed. That's what it means. And that is why we as overcomers are being changed from glory into glory. We are being changed more and more into his likeness for the very purpose so that we are not dependent on the old ways. That is why you need to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are new. The old ways have passed away. And this is what it means. So you have to be changed in order, because all of the old will be destroyed, will be removed. And that is why you have to be saved out of all of this by the grace and mercy of God. Are you beginning to see the bigger picture of this, brothers and sisters? What God is doing? The foresight, the wisdom of God. We serve a great and mighty God in what he's doing. So we're being changed in order for this. And so the only thing that will not be removed is the body of Christ, your faith, the word of God. That will not be removed. In actual fact, that is being changed from glory into glory, being restored and brought back. So everything else is falling, but we are being restored. So he's doing completely the opposite to what is happening to the world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How we're being restored back from this falling generation. Thank God that he's doing this. And that is why we're being delivered like we are in this restoration. And that's why he's removing all the obstacles. He's removing all those obstacles to our believing, our faith in the word of God. That is why he's getting our faith right according to the word, according to God's will. He won't let us compromise on it, even though we may try. Why won't he do that? Because we're being restored to it. And that's why it's a revelation. This is why we're having a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Because we know that everything is about to be restored to that divine order. And this is why he has to deliver us from all that religious error and bondage and control. That is what he's been doing in your life and my life. What does it say in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 10? Listen what it says here. In verse 10, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. And that's what we were. That is what so many who profess Christ sadly are food for these people. This is why they put such ungodly pressures on them, requiring more and more money to build their kingdoms, their ministries, and so on. And God says, I'll shake this, and he is, so that there'll no longer be food for them, held in all that bondage. This is why we're under the times of restoration, being delivered from all of that that we have just read there in verse 10. We know, don't we, that groaning creation has to be delivered. So as the shaking goes on and gets worse and worse, so the groanings will get worse. Just like a woman who is in labour to give birth. We see this, don't we, in Romans 8, verses 19 to 21. Romans 8, 19 to 21. Sorry. Which he says here, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or sons of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and labours, like those birth pangs, up until now. And that is what is happening with all that you're seeing and hearing and that's going on. They're like birth pangs. All that you're going through, the deliverance that God's working with you, is like the birth pangs. And it can be painful. And you wonder, how long, Lord? How long does this go on? I've been for years battling this. It's like a thorn in the flesh. How long, Lord? Stay in there, because you will be delivered. The sons of God will be delivered. All is groaning. All is shaking. That's why we don't go back. Our hands are to the plough, moving forward, moving forward. Because God will be faithful. He hears those cries. He hears those cries of labour, of pain. And the enemy knows it. And that's why he's trying to buffet. That's why he's trying to abort all of this. This is why he's trying to destroy FGA. But praise God, we're under restoration. We're called from the foundation of the world. And he's established us on the rock of Jesus Christ that will not and cannot be shaken. But all else is and will be. It's interesting, as John the Baptist, we know, who was the forerunner for Christ and his first advent, calling men, women to repent. It's like we carry on the ministry, but this time it's the ministry of preparation. And it's a preparation for the second advent, the coming of the Lord. He's coming soon. And it's interesting, you know, as John called them to repent and be baptized, so we, in these last days, it's a spiritual baptism. That's why we make so much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a baptism of preparation for restoration, for glorification. as Joel 2 tells us. And that's why voices again are crying in the wilderness. Notice that's where John was in the wilderness. That's where you are. That's where I am. That's where FGA is. Nothing's different. Nothing's changed. But these voices are crying again in the wilderness. This time it's a chorus of many voices to make a people prepared for the Lord. That is why you don't look at your life, your circumstances, your trials as strange. This is where we are, in the wilderness. And it's no good griping and moaning. Let's get on with it and let God do what he wants to do. And all he asks of us is to trust him and believe him, that he will bring us through, because we're on the brink of concluding all history. And that's why he's bringing us to a higher realm, a higher position than ever before. We know this in Ephesians 4. Let's remind ourselves, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Sorry, I've got a minute. Right, Ephesians 4 and verse 13, which says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That has not been done before, right through the church age. There are many saints who consecrated, yes, walked by the Spirit and so on, but they didn't come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unlike what is happening now with you and me. As we hear this word, as we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work, that change, that deliverance. It's a consecration that's been unheard of before that is taking place. It's a faith now that's preparing us to meet the Lord, to prepare us for the rapture. That's not been known before in the church age. And we're right on the brink of this, being restored, brought back, being prepared for this. This is why we look up now as our redemption draws nigh. And this is why he is shaking everything in order to do this. This shaking is to bring us to that place to meet the Lord. This whole shaking is so that the bride makes herself ready. And he's going to shake the heavens and the earth in order to do that. Can you not see this? This is so much bigger than your life, your circumstances, your trial, even FGA. This is a work he's doing now with the body of Christ around the world, the first fruits. So when you hear these things in the news, when you hear what's going on, and we hear what's going on with Brexit and everything, that's all the shaking. What is that saying? That is getting you ready to meet the Lord. It is telling us he's restoring all things. He's bringing back a divine order. Because he loves his church. He loves his bride. And he's getting her ready. That is all that's on his mind. Now you can be a part of this or not. We have a choice. Because anything else that's taught or preached that doesn't fit into this is not for the last days. And we are so blessed. I don't think we realize just how blessed we are. As I said, and I'll say it again, you didn't find this, this found you. And thank God he's got his hands firmly gripped over our lives. And there are times he won't listen to us when we gripe and moan. Because he is jealous over this. He is zealous over this. We are at the point in history where all things are now going to be concluded. And he's going to do it through us. Don't look to circumstances. Don't look to what is around you or going on in your family or at work or in your marriage or with your children. Whatever it is, all those things that we can be so consumed in, don't look around there. It's far, far bigger. Far, far bigger. We're on the brink of all things being concluded now in history. We know this because I've just read this to you in verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of me. No, the fullness of Jesus Christ and him alone. Everything that is not pointing you to the fullness of Christ, in other words, experiencing his fullness, is not a message you should listen to. But we labour week after week after week, presenting you to that fullness, that you might experience that fullness of Christ. That is why you hear it week after week, brothers and sisters. That's why at times I may sound like a broken record, but I don't know anything else other than to present that to you by the grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. All is being shaken. Don't think it strange. I'm sorry to have to say this, but we've probably seen nothing yet to what is coming. But it won't affect you if you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, because you cannot be moved, you cannot be touched by this. And that is why we pray and intercede like we do, for the mercy of God, for some to be spared from this shaking that's going to destroy everything. Your prayers are going to prevail. Your prayers are going to protect a remnant who will not be destroyed by this. So keep with it. Don't give up. Continue to be faithful in prayer and intercession. And in time, you will see the fruit of this. Praise God. All is being shaken. Father, we thank you again. Lord, we just don't have any words, really. You have a way of silencing us to any preconceived ideas that we think we could have. And all we can find that comes out of our mouth is just praise and worship. And thanking you for the love and mercy that is to be found in Jesus Christ. This is so profound. This is so great, Father, what you're doing. We're on the brink of history, seeing all being unfolded, revealed. You are going to glorify yourself through your church, through your people. And how you love your church, your body. Father, forgive us that we can be so closed, so small-minded, so consumed in ourselves and our little world, that, Father, we have such little understanding of the kingdom of God and what it pertains. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Father, to look away and to embrace all that you want to show us, Father, that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the way that you put in our hearts to come and to listen and to allow the Spirit to change our lives, to conform us into your image. Lord, we praise and thank you, Father, for this. Continue to do that work, we ask, Lord. And whatever is still displeasing in your sight, remove it. We thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be brought low.